This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Fire for them, fire for them. If you're looking for that 35 bag umbrella and all damn thing there, keep it locked with this Disunomics podcast.
Who are you? It doesn't matter who we are. Yo, what's going on, beautiful people? You're now locked into another episode of the Disunomics podcast. As usual, I hope you've had a great week so far. The sun is shining, it's bank holiday weekend, everyone's gonna be outside vibing or spending time with family or watching football, so on and so forth. Me, it's a mixture of all of them, and of course enjoying some rap beef, but we've got very serious topics to address. Why our money, I'm so dumb. Why our money in the UK is not money in like other people. Our age makes our peers, yeah, our contemporaries, the USAs, the Frances, the Germanys, the Australias, the Canadas, so on and so forth, slapping our heads when it comes to money. So I know there's a lot of discourse on Twitter and TikTok, or so on and so forth. I was going to hit a Yoruba word there. About earners, what's a good salary, what people are making, boom, boom, boom. But you know this is Disunomics, where you like to deal with logic, reasoning, and most importantly, empirical data, facts and figures, right? So we're going to talk about how things were, how things are now, and why I believe that in comparison to our age mates, we are getting shafted, we're getting shortchanged. And it explains why so many people are miserable, because they're working so hard to get nothing, so they think, F it, what's the point of working this hard? So we're going to get into the details. How our salary compares to our contemporaries, and like in USA and France, for example. What industries, what demographics, what degrees, what job roles bring you the most money, how this compares, and why, in all, we are screwed. But first, for the podcast listeners, a short break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hi, it's MXM, and listen to the Disunomics podcast because it's lit.
That song is stuck in my head, boy. Anyway, in 1945, we saw the end of the Second World War. Nazi Germany and the Axis, which was Japanese and Italians, were defeated by the Allied forces. So that's Russia, the United Kingdom, America, so on and so forth. Obviously, France were part of that, but they surrendered with the quickness. And of course, you've got forces from the Ottoman Empire in Africa as well. We saw, shortly after that period, up until the 2008 financial crisis, what they called a post-war boom. Because obviously, when you're having a war from 1938 to 1945, fresh off the press from a war from 1914 to 1918, and in between, in America, you had a Great Depression, the economy was higgy-hagger. War is bad for business. Well, for most businesses. Obviously, certain businesses booming. We ain't gonna talk on that. But in all, it's bad for business. People aren't working. People are fighting. Issues getting blown up. You're not producing, you're not importing, you're not exporting like that. It's a dub, right? So naturally, in the recourse of that, there's going to be a boom in terms of how we produce, because we went to such a low period of time, right? So the world's leading G7 nations experienced a very sizable post-war boom. They were going up and up every decade, back to back to back to back to back, growing, 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 as we see the developed nations and what we call the West, right? So who are the G7 nations? G7 even sounds like a gang. Is that even a... what, Bobby Shmurda? Oh, I think they're GS7. Anyway, so you got Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, United Kingdom, and of course, the big dog, United States of America. That is the G7 nations, right? But if we look at the last 15 years, so again, remember, we're assessing from around 2008. If we look at the last 15 years, that level of growth has really, really slowed down. While you see the BRICS nations with the likes of India, Brazil, Russia, and especially China, straight up there. Do you get me? The growth is different. Do you know what I'm saying? So what is the reason for we've seen the BRICS nations travel and hit new heights, whereas the G7 nations, everything is on a, do you know what I'm saying? Everything's slowing down. I've got one word for you. Productivity. And there should be, wherever, I'm not sure which side I'm going to slap there, do you know what I'm saying? On the YouTube, but there'll be a definition for you there. Productivity is the reason we are in the mud, right? Productivity is simply the average annual growth in gross domestic product, GDP. If you look at the average annual growth of GDP per hour in the world, the G7 nations have dropped, right? And here are some issues and some reasoning that many economists and analysts have given. Upskilling, innovation, and better infrastructure. These are the things that people believe, are fixes. But of course, these things are, it's easy to identify, oh, we've got a productivity issue, but actually implementing the strategy to fix it, to enable me, you, and our colleagues and our counterparts across the country and the G7 nations to actually be able to produce more, therefore get more money and have a more productive economy and a more prosperous people, is a lot more difficult to fix. So when they say upskilling, they mean, okay, the people in the labour force, and that's in the UK, that is anyone from the ages of 16 to 65, outside external circumstances like mental health issues, disabilities, so on and so forth, should be the workforce, the labour force, right? Upskilling the labour force is providing skills that match the cramps of the economy. So there's a period of time where nobody used computers, but then computers became a thing and people had to learn how to use Excel, how to use PowerPoint, Access, so on and so forth. Now we're seeing an increase in tech. You need to know how to use smartphones, tablets. AI is now a thing. So there's different industries that require different skills. Like the skills you needed to do in accounting before are different now. A lot of accounting was done literally by hand, because obviously I work in accountancy and finance. And even one company I contracted for a short period of time, bro that was in charge of all the books, he was doing everything by hand. All the books were done by hand. Sorry, man, slapping the mic, pause. All the thing was done by hand, do you get it? When I'm like, bro, I should be able to see all the bank reconciliations, everything should be on Excel in the folders. But nope, which makes things so hard. So upskilling is a big thing. Innovation, being able to churn out new ideas, new invention, new ways of doing things, new business methods, so on and so forth. And of course, better infrastructure, right? If, for example, we look at the north of England, right? And I saw a very interesting documentary, and I was like, rah, the people of the north, and they are predominantly working class white Brits. They have like no real infrastructure, no real facilities. So what if you've got poor schools, poor roads, you ain't got equipment, you ain't got libraries, tech centers, so on and so forth, right? The likelihood of you need to produce is poor. You ain't got the right machinery in the factories and warehouses, so on and so forth. Low speed internet, all these things can lead to innovation, upskilling, and productivity. Cool. Now, if you look at real GDP per capita, and often when you hear the word real put in front of some economics term, it often means take into account inflation. If you look at real GDP per capita, and this is the average level of national income adjusted for inflation, and of course inflation matters because it's all well and good being able to earn £30,000 a year, £50,000, £100,000 a year, and you have a certain level of bills and there's certain things and bits and pieces that you buy with your disposable income. But if inflation keeps going up and your wage stays the same, the amount of things that you could use to with your money, your disposable income, whether it be your Asda groceries, your petrol, holidays, things you buy in the shops, is going to reduce, right? So you have to look at real GDP per capita, yeah? you could actually equate this almost to purchasing power parity. And purchasing power parity, this is something I learned in economics like 2004, 2005. Yes, I'm an old ass nigga. Purchasing power parity is something where you look at different countries, right? Sorry, let me kind of streamline this. I'm going all over the place. So if you take France, United Kingdom, United States, that's three different countries with three different currencies. You've got France, they use the euro, they used to use the franc. You got America is the US dollar, and you got the UK with the Great British pound, right? Purchasing power parities basically suggest that a dollar, a pound, and a euro, in theory, should be able to get you the same amount of stuff. But purchasing power parity looks at what can you get, what can 1 euro realistically get you in pounds or in dollars, right? So for myself traveling, right, 1 pound does not get you the same amount of stuff that $1 would. It's closer to the euro, right? And when was the last time I traveled in Europe? Okay, last year I went to Ibiza and I went to Santorini, right? Good time. Obviously, those places are a bit more pricey, but really and truly, the pound and the euro are pretty... So off the top of my head, I know 1 pound... I mean, 1 euro gets you about like 87 cents. Yeah? I mean, 87 pence, right? So it's rough, but in terms of purchasing power parity, being around in the shops and that is similar things. In 2022, I went to Miami. And going to CVS, going to Walmart, going to the stores and that, purchasing power parity is different, bro. The pound doesn't stretch like the dollar does, fam. When I went to Walmart, bro, I swear I didn't see anything less than like $3, fam. Toothpaste is like $8, $6. I was like, rah! Toothbrush like $8. Everything is peas. A local CVS, they ain't nothing less than like $3, bro. Whereas if you go to your local... off license, there's loads of stuff they can get for like £1, £1.50, £2. So let's look at our UK earnings, right? So now we're going to discuss our earnings. So according to the latest figures, which came out in March 2024, right? This signals that the mean average UK weekly wage, and the mean is a mathematical method of kind of working out the average. And with the mean, you get everybody's salary, pull it up together and divide it by the amount of people, which gets the mean number, all right? So the mean average UK weekly wage, including bonuses, across all sectors in the UK and Wales, was £672 gross. So before tax, the weekly average for everything in the UK, including bonuses, is we make on average £672 per person, which is roughly around £34,900. So that's the average UK salary inclusive of bonuses, right? Cool. With regards to growth, wages grew 5.6% in this time over the last year, which is very impressive in comparison to inflation, which is now 3.4%, right? So for the first time like in ages, because usually over the last 20 years, inflation has low-key been eroded our wages. Inflation has been slightly grown higher than our wages have been, right? So if inflation is at 3.4%, so the price level of the average goods and services in the economy is going up by 3.4%, but our average salary is going up by 5.6%, we are earning more than the price increases, which is good, which means we are in surplus. However, we got to remember that in 2022, bro, the level of inflation was violent. It was double digits. So yes, our salaries are growing now, but we've been getting slapped, fam. Like how Drizzy's getting slapped right now. We've been getting slapped by inflation for damn near 2 years. And even though our wages are now growing at a higher rate than inflation is growing, inflation is still going up. It's just the speed of the rise is just slowing down. But these figures don't take into account that inflation has been going up for 2 years. Prices are still very high. So when you go to your Tesco's, your Asda's, your so on and so forth, the prices are still very high. What's interesting is that if you look at the big dogs, so the FTSE 100, this is the biggest 100 companies in the country. If you look at their median pots, so this is the amount of money they've got in terms of the amount of money they've been paid in the last year, including bonuses, boom, boom, boom. And the median, median is different from mean, right? Median means if you get everybody's salary, the person who's right in the middle, what do they chop, right? So of all the FTSE 100 dons, the person in the middle was £3.9 million in 2022. £3.9, that, huh. On this life, if you don't have money, you could suffer. What's a Davido? This is a 16% increase, according to think tank High Pay Center. And if you compare this to the average UK worker's earnings, that's 118 times. Now, a lot of people said, eat the rich, eat the rich. To be honest, the job of the top don in a company is different from the average person in the company. They have more risks. They work longer hours. They have more responsibilities. They determine the strategy of the company. And if they make bad decision, everything dead. Your job's gone. So here's what it is. That's just my side of it. That's just my side of things. So let me bring this Rascal laptop a bit closer. So if you look at the median weekly full-time wage, and they take in full-time as at least 30 hours a week, the median is 6.82 per week. Now, if you're looking at median part-time salary, yeah, which is £241 a week. So remember, we were saying like we're looking at around £34,000 for a full-time worker in the UK. A part-time worker median salary is around 12.5K a year. So this is how much we're earning. So the average, if you pick up a random person from Tesco's or a random person at the Arsenal game or a random person in the cinema in the UK, the chances are their salary is probably 34.9K if they work full-time and 12 and a half racks if they work part-time. The people that earn the most right now, and we're talking age range here, is the workers aged between 40 and 49. They have the highest weekly pay, around £770 per week, and this is all before tax. So on average, the most lucrative age bracket in terms of salary is 40 to 49, and they earn around £40,000 a year on average. So the most profitable age range is 40 to 49, and that, not at best, but the average person is chopping 40 racks a year, which is very interesting because I remember like maybe like 6 years ago on Twitter, they were saying 40K is a dead salary. I said, I know you lot have hopes and ambitions, but let's calm down, yeah? A lot of people would love to earn £40,000 a year. And that's not the same as saying you should be grateful for that because you get what you have worked for. And that's not to say you should aim for more than that. Of course, aim for as much money as possible. But numbers are numbers, and let's be real, right? Let's not rub out salaries that are provided for families. Anyway, those under the age of 30 earn around 25% less than those over the age of 40. So shock horror, the older you get, the more you're going to earn up until you reach a particular point, which I believe is around 50. And that's when your earnings start to drop. Because naturally, you've become more skilled. Remember the upskilling things, you have more experience. So you can go to a job and say, yo, I could do this. You've probably gone from like a entry-level worker to somebody who might be in middle management, or even senior if you're lucky, so on and so forth. So some quick numbers, which will be on the YouTube. 18 to 21, average salary is around 22.9K. 22 to 29, average salary is around 30K, 30.3K. 30 to 39, which is my age range, average salary is 37.5. 40 to 49 is 40,000 a year. 50 to 59 is 37.8. Again, it just starts to drop after you hit 50. And those over the age of 60 earn around 33.8K a year. So the 29 and under are the ones who earn the least. And the 40 to 49 is where the money is at. Where the money reside, where the money reside. And this is all based off Office of National Statistics annual survey for hours and earnings, right? What else does this data show? The ONS data also shows that the older you get, the more likely you are to earn to 50, but men out-earn women at every age, right? Every age, men are out-earning women. London salaries are the highest, which is not shocked. Most of productivity is in the London region, London and surrounding counties, so Reading and Slough. Those are the areas that see the most money. And the natural assumption is that that's where the most productivity is. London salaries are highest for all regions for ages above 22, apart from, I believe, West Midlands. So workers in the ages of 18 to 21 in the West Midlands will out earn those in London. But every other age range, it's a dub, right? The leisure and travel sector is the lowest in terms of weekly pay. So people who work at gyms, work in, maybe work at airports, work at hotels, work at restaurants and bars, their sector has the lowest weekly pay. Health professionals, interestingly, slightly out-earn teaching and the educational staff on average. Managers, directors, senior officials earn the most, right? Obviously, this will be put on the board for you lot. So managers and directors, they earn the most. And the most lucrative age for that is 40 to 49, as well as 50 to 59. So 40 to 49, managers, directors, senior official staff members earn £964 a week. Let me do that quick maths for y'all, which is around 50.1K. 50 to 59 is 955. So that's just under 50K. And that's the most lucrative industry. If you're a manager, director, senior official in between the ages of 40 to 59, you're earning around 50K, and that's the highest on average, right? If you're looking at sales, customer service, and occupations, it could be as low as £160 a week when you're 18 to 21, and highs of £362 in 30 to 39. Health professionals, the most lucrative age you're looking at is 30s. Your 30s and 40s, so that's £725 a week. Teaching and education professionals, they peak at 40s to 50s, £800 a week. And leisure and travel could be as low as £193 and peaks at £420 if you're in your 40s, right? So that's the gist, right? So here are some of the most expensive, not expensive, the most lucrative job titles in the country, right? We're gonna go from 10 up to 1. Number 10, head teachers or principals, £66,000 a year. Number 9, specialist medical practitioners, £66,000 a year, £15 more than the previous number, yep. Functional managers and directors, that's just under £70,000 a year, £69.9. Financial managers and directors, £70,000 a year. And we've got pilots and air traffic controllers, £71.6,000 a year. And now we get to our top five, logistics, warehousing and transport directors, £72,000 a year. Public relations and communication directors, £79.8,000 a year, almost 80 raccoons. Number three, IT directors, £80,000 a year, big on IT people. Marketing, sales, advertising executives, I didn't guess it would be this, £83,000 a year. And number one, chief executives, obviously the big bosses in the business, £84.1K a year, right? Now, what's interesting is how educated you are, right? So the average man is 130K better off and the average woman is £100,000 better off. And this is across your lifetime of career earnings if they are a university graduate, right? So let's look at gross annual salary when we factor in education. So those with no qualifications, their average gross salary is 14.3K. Those with other qualifications, their average salary is 17.4K. GCSE grades A to C equivalent, £17,200 a year. GCSE A level or equivalent, GCE, so that's A levels and above, equivalent, £19,000 a year. Higher education, £23,400 a year, but degree or equivalent and above, £30,500 a year. So what we're seeing is that if you're degree educated, the chances are you're going to be able to out earn your counterparts, right? But the IFS, which is the Institute for Fiscal Studies, says that average returns mask big differences across individuals. So while the majority will gain financially from getting a bachelor's degree, it's estimated that 1 in 5, so about 70,000 students per year, would have been better off financially having not gone to university. While around 10% of graduates with the highest returns will gain, on average, around £500,000 due to their higher education. So the highest earners, they're really chopping well. Also, university subjects has a big, big impact on your earnings. So if you're hitting the STEMs, sciences, the maths, right, economics, you are likely to go into an industry that's going to bring you higher level earnings. But if you're more in like the social studies, healthcare and stuff, your earnings aren't likely to be as high as those in STEM, right? Computer science and IT, medicine and law, for example, they're going to be able to earn higher starting salaries, right? Now, what was super interesting to me, right? So I've given us just a breakdown, a detailed breakdown of earnings in the UK and how much we are earning, right? So let's get into the analysis. When you hear middle class, you're thinking good life, maybe one partner's got a car, one partner's got another car, kids go to a good school, maybe even private school if you're feeling extra froggy with it, a nice house, able to go on a couple holidays a year, maybe, you know what I'm saying, a couple dinners and that, you know what I'm saying? Living good, yeah? Wear decent clothes, everything's all right. According to tastingbritain.co.uk, the middle class for the UK salary is what? I'll leave you to guess. 26.8K. Now, this is not to belittle anyone who's earning that and below. But for that to be a middle class shows that the earnings in the UK is so low. We're not getting paid enough. And obviously, this is going to change dramatically depending on where you live. Middle class in Stoke-on-Trent is not going to be the same as middle class in if you're living in High Street, Kensington. It's not going to be the same as if you're living in Peckham. It's not going to be the same if you live in Liverpool. It's not going to be the same if you live in Derby or Glasgow, so on and so forth. For example, living in London, the middle class earnings is minimum of 60K. So if you're earning at least 60K, chances are you have access to live a middle class lifestyle, according to the data. Now, how do we compare to our age mates? That's how I started off the thing. How are we compared to our age mates? Can we go machine for machine with our counterparts in New York or Paris or Tokyo or Toronto? Yeah, Toronto, Vancouver. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm listening to all the countries. Berlin, them and there. Now, remember we said the median UK salary was what, 682? Well, the median, and that's a week, the median US salary is $1,118 a week as of Q3 of 2023. So as of July, August, September last year, so this is pretty recent figures. I'm sure it ain't changed that much. Definitely not in a negative. $1,118 is the median US weekly salary. Remember, ours is 882. So if we compare on an annual basis, right? USA, $58,000 a year. That is their average salary. That smokes us. Because remember, the pound and dollar, although the dollar, the pound is like obviously stronger than the dollar, and things in USA are a bit more expensive than they are in the UK, our lifestyles shouldn't be that too dissimilar. We're all G7 nations, but they are earning way more than us. So if you look at the exchange rate, yeah? So let's get that up. Because I think it was like, last time I checked, it was like 0.82. So USD to GBP. Okay, 0.8, right? So if we convert USA salary into the UK's, so we can get out the old calculator, 58,136 times by the exchange rate, which is 0.8, which is interesting because it's gone down. Because it used to be 0.82, that I always remember. So 58,136 times by 0.8. That means if we convert it into UK, we should be earning £46,508.80 on average before tax if we were equal to the Americans. We just convert the numbers right up. We are damn near 12K below that. That's wild. So our exchange rate tells us $1 equals 80 pence. But in terms of purchasing power parity, which was calculated, it tells us $1 is really 68 pence. This is mad. USA are gaining more than us. The average UK US salary works out to 46K. We're getting 34 racks. The United States is a richer society, which have higher wages on average. The US economy also has lower taxes and they have less regulations than British one has. They also have a lower safety net, less government intervention. They have less holidays. These men are really out here getting to the money. hey, it's time to work. And even Trump said, listen, if I win, I'm bringing more tax cuts on your head top. But let me even get up, I even forgot to say this. Let me even get up USA corporation tax. Okay, so they got a 21% tax rate, which is pretty similar to us. Okay, because it reduced in 2017, I remember. Okay, cool. Anyway, yeah, it's long. Also, people will come and argue like, yeah, cool, them man earn more than us, but remember, they got to pay for healthcare. They got to pay for healthcare. Our healthcare is free. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as free. Somebody's paying for it. And we are paying for it. The difference is we don't pay for it at the point, POA, at the point of access. We don't go, unless we're sometimes paying for subscriptions or the dentist. More than not, if we're going to NHS service, we don't hand over the money to get seen to. When we call GP, we don't hand over money, unless you're going private. But we've already paid for it via our taxes. So remember, we get 34.9K on average before tax. And after national insurance and income tax, we get whatever we get. But part of that national insurance income tax goes to pay for the NHS and other things. So we've already paid for it. So our average salary is 34K minus taxes, right? If you're thinking about healthcare. Whereas in America, majority of full-time employees have health insurance, which is something they get from their employers. Like for me, my employer provides me health insurance. I opted in for it. I pay a little change, but opted in for it. And thank God, because when my knee was mudded, I was able to hit up Bupa, get the surgery, boom, boom, boom. Right? In America, a lot of this stuff comes as a benefit in part of your compensation package, right? So they don't actually have to necessarily go out and pay for healthcare. Healthcare is an added bonus onto what they work. Whereas we work and we get charged for healthcare in our taxation. Now, let's look at France, just up the road. When we look at France, they also out-earn us, cuz average salary in Paris, if we're looking at on a per monthly basis, is 3,466 euros, compared to ours, which is 2,688. 3,466 euros is bigger than 2,688. You don't need to math genius, right? And even if we work out the French salary into the UK salary, it should equal £3,149 per month. It's nuts, right? But it's not. We earn 2,688. UK average works out to around 37,000 euros a year, 37.7 thousand euros per year. But France, they're getting 41,500 euros per year. Again, we're getting muddied. The French are getting 41 racks in euros. The Americans are getting, what was it? Was it 58 or 51? 51.8 racks. Let me get up. No, 58 racks, sorry. We're holding a little 34 in comparison. It's a joke thing, right? Now, there's a thing, the OECD had this very interesting tool called the Better Life Index, which looks at your average disposable income per capita of OECD countries, right? So this is, disposable income is the amount of money that you have to spend on stuff after you've paid for your bills, taxes, boom, 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 right? So this is, so according to the OECD, the average number for all OECD countries is $30,490 per year. Let's look at how countries compare. The UK is above average, cool, $33,049 per year. France is ahead of us at $34,375, sorry. So that's what, an extra 1,000 and, you know what I'm saying, 1,300. And USA smokes both, $51,147 disposable income per year, per capita. Basically, man in America got a productivity team pattern, and that's why they're the most powerful economy in the world. 2021 data from OECD shows that disposable income per capita in UK wasn't even in the top 10. So again, this will be on the YouTube. So if you're seeing this, you might want to pause this part. But number one is USA with 62,300. Then is Luxembourg, which is 51,000, big drop. Then another big drop, Australia, 45,000. And then everybody's kind of bunched together. So it goes from USA, Luxembourg, Australia to Germany, Switzerland, Norway, Australia, oh no, Austria, sorry, Netherlands, Belgium and France, all kind of combined, all like four racks apart. We were like 14th. With 36,900. These times, America were 62,000. Almost double us. So why are we so muddied? This number is just giving me numbers upon numbers of how basically our age mates are boiling out and we're feeding our scraps, right? Compared to other countries, we've seen a slower level of productivity growth in the past 15 years. We can look at underinvestment from the Conservative government, who took over in 2010, a couple of years after the economy crashed and Gordon Brown was in charge after he took over Tony Blair, who lost the election to David Cameron. They introduced austerity to kind of balance the books. And up until Theresa May slash the end of Theresa May, Rishi Sunak coming in terms of taking control of the Chancellor's Exchequer, we were under austerity. And austerity is a contraction. So there's fiscal policy, government. So you've got government spending and taxation, right? So the government spends money and it taxes money to get it back, yeah? Austerity is when the government starts to spend less because they want to contract public services to save more money, right? That's contractionary fiscal policy, and austerity is the worst thing. That's what the EU imposed on places like Cyprus and Greece and, do you know what I'm saying, Ireland and Portugal. And like, austerity measures don't solve anything. It just makes things worse. You want to encourage spending in the economy, right? Obviously, I know this might sound crazy, but you actually need to spend to get out of a economic crisis because you need to get demand rolling. You need to get people going out, spending money, because when people go out and spend money, that means there's jobs, that means people are producing. And if people are producing, that means you can sell stuff to the economy is moving. Everything's all, you know what I'm saying? Everything's all intertwined, right? The UK is in the bottom half of productivity rankings, well below France, Germany and USA. Poor policy, poor underinvestment will always lead to this, right? Low productivity means we get hit harder by exogenous shocks. So what does that mean? When things outside the UK happen and it's nothing, not our government policy or whatnot, we are in bigger trouble, aka COVID. COVID hit us like a ton of bricks, bro. It hit our economy harder than our counterparts. And we've seen the cost of living crisis hit our economy harder than our counterparts. Ukraine war, energy prices going up. Who's getting slapped the hardest? We are. And we can't adapt to it because we don't earn enough. So yes, okay, cool. All of a sudden, energy prices are going up. If we were earning way more, it wouldn't dampen us as much. And then we get hit with another shock. Liz Truss comes in, messes our economy in 38 days, gets booted out. Guess what? Our flipping mortgages have gone through the roof. People's mortgages have gone up by 3 bills, 4 bills, 6 bills. I was on flipping, calculating, okay, cool, what can my mortgage be? Boom, 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 when I get one. They're all telling me repayment of 2.6K. Heck no. I don't want to do that. Wild. Also, those who are lower skilled, so people who might not have like IT skills, qualifications, high level education, so on and so forth, in unproductive jobs are always going to be the ones who struggle to get by because they're not earning enough. They're not producing enough, so they're not earning enough. And when costs go up, they're in the mud. And it's harder for them to go get a higher paying job because they don't have the level of skill. If we look at the past decade, yeah, to match that level of GDP growth, we're going to have to double what we're doing currently for the next like 5 years. We're going to have to increase our productivity growth from 0.5%, which it is currently, to 1%. It's crazy. And the thing is, it's going to be so hard to get productivity up because people aren't earning enough. I told you how much people are earning. So why are people going to work any harder and strategize and take risks? Bro, the economy's mad, so people ain't taking those risks. Consumer confidence low, business confidence low. We're in a mud, cuz. We're in a mud. Lack of investment, huge issue. If you look at since the 1960s, government investment has dropped gigantically and it's been stagnant. January showed the demand for workers is also falling. So what does this mean? So demand for people to be hired into jobs is falling. That's not good. that means we're not producing enough. Because usually, if we're producing a lot, okay, cool. We're making chairs, we're making cameras, we're making textiles. We've got all these good businesses. Massage parlors are going up. Physiotherapists are going up. Everything's going up. Boom, boom, boom. We need more staff to match this demand. It's not there. Employers are also so shook that they don't really want to have growth plans and invest more because they don't know what the economy is saying. Therefore, they're not hiring staff. And I've seen this as somebody who's looking at the market, boom, 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 loads of my friends, contractors, looking for new jobs. The job market is slow. Slow. Now, if you look at BDO Employment Index from December 20 to 23, which will be on the YouTube, I need to stop saying that. If you're watching, you just know. It's gone down from 99.12%, gone down to 99.12%, which is the lowest since August 2013. And if you look at the graphic, you see a spark drop in 2020, which is obviously when COVID was. A massive increase is coming out of COVID. And now it's dropping at a rapid rate. Long story short, we're mudded, rude boy. Man, at the moment, I'm not going to lie, I don't see an out. Shout out to my boy Leroy. I shout out to him. I said, we need heavy levels of investment and we need migrants. See, people are complaining about immigrants. We don't have enough people producing, bro. And I'm not sure if I told people this, but like I think it's like 10% of people provide like 50% of the tax revenue. Which means a small amount of people are propping up the whole economy. You need more people in the economy working, innovative, creating stuff, creating businesses, being entrepreneurs, and also being able to work in these businesses. Oh man, we're in the mud. So yeah, if you want to know why life is hard, that's your reason. Me, I don't know, bro. If people need to get more jobs, start to think of side hustles, I don't know. Some people believe it's better just to really go hard on, focus on one thing to maximize your earning potential. I'm trying to do both. All I know is I got a bag of toilet, man. I'm out. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.